Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of my Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me, as always, is Jasmine Smith. Jasmine, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Robert. How are you?
Doing very well. Today on the podcast, we have some unfortunate stories. You're going to tell us about the situation with some high school students up in Northern Kentucky in Covington Catholic High School. I'm going to talk to us about the ever-expanding saga of the sexual harassment issues facing the state legislature. And we're going to play a short game of Big Deal or Little Deal. So, without any further ado, Jasmine, tell us about Covington Catholic.
Okay. I'm willing to bet that most or all of our listeners, probably all, already know quite a bit about this.
If it's less than 100%, I would be literally shocked.
But you've probably seen and read different things depending on what types of media you're consuming. And I'm going to try to go through this logically and like from the beginning to the present.
I'm ready to hear some Jasmine lawyering going on right now.
Okay. Well, first I started with like the who, what, where, when, why.
Perfect.
Of all of this. So who are we talking about? We're talking about some Covington Catholic students, a group of Black Hebrew Israelites, and a group of people from the Indigenous People's March. So the people who have been named specifically that we're talking about are Nathan Phillips, who was the person from the Indigenous People's March that was drumming, and Nick Sandman, who was the boy who stood very closely to Mr. Phillips in the video. I say his name publicly because he has outed himself. He released a statement and he's been on the Today Show, right, which we're going to get to later. What are we talking about? So we're talking about basically the March for Life afterwards and the Indigenous People's March. Covington Catholic apparently takes a field trip to the March for Life every year.
Surprising.
That is where this occurred. So when this happened on Friday, last Friday afternoon, where happened in Washington, D.C., where the March for Life is held near the Lincoln Memorial. And why? That's a really good question. So I'm kind of going to start at the beginning. The first video of this incident surfaced early Saturday morning, I think at least. That's when I first saw it.
Me too.
And it was revealed that the kids in the video were from Covington Catholic, which is an all-boys school in Northern Kentucky, very close to Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. The video showed Mr. Phillips drumming and chanting with kind of a mob of students around him, many of whom were wearing Make America Great Again hats. Some were jumping, some were chanting, some were recording on their phones, some were doing what people call like a tomahawk chop, right?
Right. If you're fans of like the Atlanta Braves or the Kansas City Chiefs, it's that one.
Right. Yeah. Some kids were just clapping along. And then there was one who was standing just ultra close to Mr. Phillips, kind of smirking.
Right. And the way that the video kind of popped up, he was just immediate. It was just the two of them. It starts with the two of them standing very close to each other.
Right. And yeah, then it kind of backs up and you see the group of kids around them.
Right.
But it was a pretty short clip.
Mm-hmm.
It looked pretty bad, the way that the group was crowded around Mr. Phillips. I would not say that all of them were mocking him in some way, but a lot of them definitely were.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
And the strange closeness of Nick Sandman in his MAGA hat was really disturbing.
Right.
Right.
That's totally fair. Absolutely.
So Covington Catholic immediately shut down or privatized all of their social media accounts after the video went viral. And the kids were basically being doxxed online.
Right.
Everyone was...
What is doxxing?
It's kind of like a search to reveal someone.
Yeah,
right?
Like people revealing private information about other people.
Right. But then a statement from Mr. Phillips himself was released later on Saturday. He said that he felt threatened and that the kids swarmed him as the march was wrapping up and they were just trying to leave. He said that he felt like it was starting to get ugly, and then the boy in the hat blocked his path and wouldn't allow him to retreat. He also said that he did hear some of the students saying, build that wall. I'm not sure that this can be heard in the video, but even if they didn't say this, I feel like the hats say it for them.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And then finally, after Mr. Phillips gave a statement, the school and the Catholic Diocese of Covington gave a statement, and they said, we condemn the actions of Covington Catholic High School students towards Nathan Phillips specifically and Native Americans in general. The matter is being investigated and we will take appropriate action up to and including expulsion. So they didn't really say, they said they condemn it. They didn't say what action they were going to take, just that they're looking into it and it could include expulsion.
Right.
That was Saturday. Then on Sunday, a full video surfaced that showed much more than just the interaction between the students and Mr. Phillips. There's one video that goes on for well over an hour. In this video, there's a small group of Black Hebrew Israelites, and they're basically yelling at the Covington Catholic students. They make comments about there only being one Black student in the group. They call them crackers. They told them their president was a homosexual. They said things about their MAGA hats. The students, I would say they mostly ignored them, but they did respond to them at time to time. One point, one said that they had three Black kids, not one.
Well, there you go. That's 300% increase, yeah.
One of them said, "Why are you being so mean?" So they're kind of trying to ignore them, but these people keep talking at them.
Yeah, and this group is known for being like a strange, radical, like Black supremacist group that is very small but often shows up at events like this.
And parts of the group are. So right. I wouldn't say that group as a whole is, but that they have like radical factions,
okay.
I guess. The things that they were saying were definitely very harsh, but also a lot of them may have been fair, given the MAGA hats.
Right.
At some point, the kids, though, they start doing like their school chants to drown out the things that the Black Hebrew Israelites were saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clear from the video that they're like doing school spirit stuff.
Right.
There's an odd point where one of them takes a shirt off, though. But
they're high school boys, and, you know.
Yeah.
It is kind of strange to me at this point that the reason that anyone's there is very unclear to me. Like, why doesn't everybody just leave the situation?
Right.
Right. That's the part that's confuses me the most about
this. I have kind of a list of questions at the end
that
I have that I've had throughout this whole thing. So when this video is released on Sunday, then there's kind of a media frenzy. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Republicans and Trump supporters, they're mad because they feel like these kids were treated unfairly, and that the other people actually started this and blah, 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 blah. And then some people that condemned their actions backtracked and said, "I'm sorry, I didn't watch the whole video." There were all sorts of different reactions, right? On Sunday night, Nick Sandman, the student who's standing very close to Mr. Phillips, released his own statement. I don't really think it's worth reading any parts of it, but it's very carefully crafted and it essentially denies any responsibility. He asserts that he was approached and that his personal space was invaded, and he stood there calmly as not to create any issues, basically. And he said that he smiled at one point so that Mr. Phillips would know, you know, he wasn't going to become angry or intimidated or be a threat, basically.
Wasn't going to become angry or intimidated, which are kind of an interesting two emotions to put next to each other there.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
He also says that one of the people with Mr. Phillips started getting into it with another student about stolen land, and that he, being Nick Sandman, motioned at him to stop. And I believe that this part of his statement is actually true, because you can see that in the video. Like, there becomes an exchange and he kind of waves him off like, "Stop, dude." So that part I believe is true. But as far as the rest of it about him like smiling and trying to show how peaceful he is, you know, it's just very carefully crafted. And his parents hired a PR firm.
Right. Switch Media out of Louisville. That's the Scott Jennings.
Scott Jennings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, tell people who Scott Jennings is.
Right,
if
so
they don't know Robert.
Scott Jennings he's worked for Republicans in Kentucky for a long time, very close to Mitch McConnell. He's often on CNN. He has been on NPR. He's kind of like making a new life as a pundit, kind mm-hmm. of. But he runs this PR firm that does a lot of like crisis.
Run Switch.
Yeah, Run Switch. Did I say it wrong? Did I say Red Switch? Run Switch is the name of the firm. Yeah, Run Switch is the name of the firm, but they do a lot of like crisis communications, and they actually. We talked about them prior because they were involved in the Topgolf situation in Oxmoor mm-hmm. in Louisville. So that's another thing they've been involved in. So
right. So that's who's been hired.
It's a Republican firm, though.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Then a couple additional videos from the same day are released. One of them is a Covington Catholic student saying, "It's not rape if you enjoy it." And the other is like a small group of students. It's not the whole group that's in the larger video. It's maybe like 10 yelling like MAGA and stuff to a girl that's walking by them.
Yeah. And that's something that's been kind of a strange situation to watch, is kind of how like support for the president has been like weaponized as this like insult for like conservative white people against people who aren't conservative white people.
So then Mr. Phillips went on Good Morning America. That was yesterday, which was Tuesday. He said, I was seeing America being divided by hatred, and I wanted to turn away from this horrible sight, and I wanted to go away from it. I just wanted to ignore it. But then that thought, my commitment to God, to a better future for all youth, the next generation. So he's talking about how, you know, he saw the group of Black Hebrew Israelites getting into it with these students, and he wanted to walk away from it. But then he decided he's going to, you know, try to intervene and defuse the situation. Since his first statement on Saturday, he has clarified that he was the one who approached them trying to defuse the situation, because I think at first there was controversy about like who started what. Did they create this mob around him? And he clarified that he did approach them, and then they kind of surrounded him after that. He said, I wish those chaperones and those teachers would have said, this is the wrong behavior for American students to be displaying in our nation's capital. Where are those teachers, those chaperones, those kids shouldn't have been exposed to this backlash? And that's a good question. Where where were the chaperones, right?
Right.
He does say, you know, he again says that they did say derogatory things to him. And he said that he was disappointed with the student's statement because he didn't really take any responsibility. And he said that he stole his narrative because he said he was in prayer. And now Nick Sandman is suddenly the passive one who was praying right throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't watch the Good Morning America interview, but I did hear him on Morning Edition on NPR. And yeah, I don't know if Mr. Phillips is working with a PR firm. It doesn't appear, like, he doesn't seem very comfortable in these situations. And he kind of like goes around himself and says things, talks in circles a lot, yeah, and is not very good at being interviewed.
It's not as, you know, crafted as,
yeah,
the statement from the student.
And I mean, it's very clear that like he is not comfortable in this public situation that he's found himself in. Yeah.
Right. And so then we're to today, Wednesday, and Nick Sandman appeared on the Today Show, and he said that he had every right to stand there. He said that he'd be willing to talk with Mr. Phillips and engage with him, but that he can't really say that he's sorry for just standing there and listening. That's kind of where we are now. The school actually closed due to threats of violence and the possibility of large crowds on Tuesday, but I believe that they reopened today.
They did, yeah.
and the kids have been invited to the White House. So, you know, that's just a reality of the world we live in right now.
After the shutdown is over, Jasmine. They're not.
Right, yeah. Not yet.
Yeah.
But through this, there's been some other Covington Catholic backlash. After the first video was released, a lot of former students have come out and talked about how this is typical Covington Catholic behavior. A lot of them have talked about like the bullying of LGBTQ students, calling the girls at Notre Dame, which is the all-girls school nearby, the whores on the hill. And a 2018 graduate was recently charged with rape and sodomy. And so there's been all of these other things about Covington Catholic students that have been brought to the surface by this incident. And then there's also a photo of some CovCath students in blackface for a blackout basketball game. So some other things about them have been brought to light. But I guess my questions about this whole thing, and this is what you've already posed, Robert, why didn't anyone move?
I mean, it's so crazy to me that like the March for Life was over. The Indigenous People's March was over. These Black Hebrew Israelite guys are just there because that's what they do.
Right. And it's like a free speech area right of the National Mall, yeah, right?
And you've got like, I mean, there's no reason for anybody to be there. Like nobody's there. It's after all their events are done. Well, maybe not the Indigenous People's March, actually, but the March for Life
that lasted until like 5 o'clock. And yeah, so I think they were wrapping up as all of this was occurring.
Yeah. And the March for Life was over. These kids were, I mean, just hanging around the Capitol. And yeah, I don't know. It's just like, just leave. Just leave right the situation.
And I believe what the student said was that they were told that's where to meet to get back on the buses. And that's all well and good. But, you know, at the moment that this starts to become volatile and this group of people is yelling at them or whatever, I don't understand why someone didn't just say, hey, we're going to meet at this place instead, right, or just move a little bit.
I'm also not like in charge of a whole bunch of young boys. That would be, I mean, wrangling that many children and changing it. Yeah, that's a complicated question.
I get it. Yeah. But That's still my biggest question is why didn't they just move?
Right.
Even like just a little bit.
A short distance. Yeah, right. No kidding.
And, you know, my other question is, why didn't Nick Sandman just step back a little bit if he wasn't mocking him? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I do think it's so interesting to me that he said, I'm not going to become angry or intimidated, right? You know, like he's clearly like, you want me to move and I'm not going to move. Like this is kind of a machismo, like it's a kid being, you know, a machismo person or whatever.
Right. And, you know, my big question about this is, a lot of people now have jumped to the defense of these kids. And I just want to know, why aren't youth of color afforded the same like generosity of spirit and benefit of the doubt that these kids are getting?
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The criminal justice system would not afford them the same opportunities.
And this also made me think about a hypothetical, because I would say like at least 25% of these kids were wearing MAGA hats.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made me think about the gang bill that we have here in Kentucky. And like, so what, I'm not saying this is what happened. So, but let's say we were in Kentucky and a group of MAGA hat kids did a crime. Do they get prosecuted under the gang bill because of their matching logo hats?
They could, right? That's the law. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, to sum up, I ultimately don't feel much different about the situation after seeing the entire video. I do think it was probably incredibly uncomfortable for these kids with the way they were being talked to. But in a group where I'd say 25% are wearing these hats, I don't feel bad that they had to deal with that. Free speech has consequences, you know. The fact that they were being yelled at first doesn't really change that they were doing tomahawk chops and kind of mocking this Native American. Regardless of what Nick Sandman says about what happened, standing in close proximity to someone wearing a MAGA hat is in itself threatening.
Yeah.
I think it's a symbol. It's become a symbol of white supremacy. It doesn't matter to me who approached who or who was misunderstood about whether he was trying to get close to him or if he was just trying to pass. It doesn't matter because I think that those hats.
My friend, who I know online at Lydia Burrell, it also does Hal Dottie. He watched the whole video, and I think what he said about it was the best thing that I've read, which he said, you can say that there's a lot of stuff going on. You can say that they handled an awkward situation badly. You can say they shouldn't wreck their lives, but you cannot say a bunch of white kids in MAGA hats did not mock a Native American vet in public.
Which, yeah, that's absolutely
true.
Like, and yeah, I watched the whole video too.
Yeah. At the end of the day, like anything that Mr. Sandman says about, I was just being there calmly, that's not, the PR firm is doing a lot for him, but that is not doing him a service. You cannot walk away from the fact that you performed that action. You did that. That there's no way that cannot be construed as mocking a Native American in public. And, you know, the rest of everything else, you know, clearly it's been working for a small segment of people. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are jumping to his defense and they're going to probably get to go to the White House because they mocked somebody, I guess.
We'll get some Burger King or something,
some
right?
Some hamburgers or whatever they are. But yeah, it's just a very, it does not present them or Kentucky or Covington in a good light at all. So really unfortunate situation for
and,
sure.
And, you know, and I think a lot of people at first were like, where are these kids' parents? Blah, blah, blah. And it's their parents who probably taught them this. The only way to fix things like this is to teach them better.
Well, I mean, and that's one other piece is, you know, Covington Catholic, when they were like, we will explore punishment up to and including expulsion. It's just like, you know, if you expel a kid from your school, you taught this kid to be this way. This kid has been a part of your education system, and this is how they turned out. Kids don't start out bad. Right. You know, they learn that.
And I'm not sure what expulsion does other than like maybe fuel them.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you have a discussion about, you know.
I mean, just the fact that school can be like, it's an option for us to just wash our hands of this situation. You know, we are going to walk away from this kid. We created him. He did something bad. And we're just going to walk away from him. And he's no longer our problem. He's now your problem as a part of the public school system. Like, you know. Nobody in this situation seems to be willing to take any responsibility for any of their actions and it's very disappointing. That's all there is to it.
We're going to continue to hear about this.
Unfortunately, yes.
For a while, yeah. I think.
All right. Well, let's move to something that's significantly worse even than that. Are you ready for that? That's fun.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. The Kentucky legislature harassment scandal is back and bigger than ever before. This actually broke on Wednesday. We did not record on Wednesday as we usually do. We recorded on Monday of last week. So this was actually already broken by the time we released our episode last week. Okay, so just to get started, last year, there was reporting by the Courier-Journal and other newspapers and media outlets about inappropriate behavior by House Speaker Jeff Hoover that led to his resignation of the leadership position. Surely you remember this, Jasmine.
I do. I've talked about it quite a bit.
It was a big story.
And no one ran against Representative Hoover.
Yes.
So he's still there.
Mm-hmm. He is absolutely still there. At the time, the story centered around inappropriate text messages that were solicited by Representative Hoover and three other Republican representatives. The woman in question was a partisan staffer at the LRC who worked for the Republican caucus. So that did seem like, with the evidence we had in front of us, that's what it was. It was these like inappropriate text messages that Representative Hoover asked for and received, and there was a lot of bullying by him and this woman. And that was what it looked like it was about. That was the reporting that we saw a year ago. The matter was settled out of court. So last week, we learned that the alleged behavior from the legislators, the people who settled with this woman, was significantly worse than previously reported. And all of this comes from the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting, who received a copy of a sealed deposition. And in the deposition, the woman testified that she had been touched nearly daily by Speaker Hoover. Her testimony indicated that he had sexually assaulted her 50 times. The story laid out in the deposition and told by KYCIR said that the woman felt her main job was to keep Jeff Hoover happy, and that apparently included him constantly lifting her dress, touching her intimate areas, and acting aggressively possessive. The deposition actually details him yelling at her for attending an after-hours meeting of other lawmakers. The woman said that while she never asked Hoover to stop, she felt like she was unable to ask him that, and that she didn't feel that the behavior that they engaged in was consensual. This all came to a head because the woman enlisted in the Navy Reserves in 2016. The training for this position included sexual harassment training, which she said was taken much more seriously than the training she experienced when she began her life as a staffer in Frankfort. And she said that after reflecting on what she had learned in the Navy training, she rethought her decision to remain quiet about the speaker's behavior. She also detailed similar inappropriate behavior from three other representatives, Jim DeCesare, Brian Linder, and Michael Meredith. Only Representative Meredith actually remains in the House of Representatives. He was actually returned to his chairmanship post this year. Directly from the KYCIR report, here's a quote. The woman said that Meredith told her in explicit terms that he wanted to ejaculate on her.
Oh, God.
Which, that's what that is. Also caught up in this deposition was former Representative Brad Montell, who the deposition said had asked the woman to sit on his lap in order to have him donate to a specific candidate. Okay, so this deposition actually occurred because of the wrongful termination lawsuit filed by Daisy Oliva, who we've talked about before. You detailed this before in the past.
Right. She was the boss for the woman who made the sexual assault claim.
Yes. She filed a wrongful termination lawsuit along with Brad Metcalf, who was the former House clerk. These two had raised the alarm about sexual misconduct and then were fired. So.
Right. And at the time that she filed the lawsuit, Daisy Oliva had not actually been terminated yet. I think her argument was that she was effectively terminated because her job duties had been taken away from her. And then she actually got terminated more recently.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And she's filed this lawsuit and they took this deposition. They sealed it, but then it was released. That kind of brings us to the end of what we know from the deposition. That's basically what it was. It's you know, alleging inappropriate touching, sexual assault up to 50 times by Representative Hoover. Other sexual assaults by three other legislators and a former legislator. And essentially the fallout so far is that the Kentucky Democratic Party has called for Representative Meredith and Representative Hoover to resign. And the Kentucky GOP said this, quote, sexual harassment has existed in Frankfort for decades, far predating today's Republican leadership, unquote. So there you go.
So that's saying like it's happened forever. So
remember
it's
when I
fine.
I talked to, like, I guess that was just last week about Greg Stumbo, like, and all they do is like it used to be bad too.
Right. Greg Stumbo did this.
Yeah, and this isn't about Greg Stumbo, obviously.
But it's the same thought.
It's, you know, they did it too before and now we're doing it, and that means, you know, just because they did it in the past, it makes it okay. I guess. I don't know. But I mean, at the end of the day, the KY GOP statement isn't wrong. There have been multiple sexual harassment scandals at the Capitol, but both sides in this argument is just horrible. This is not a good look.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So former Representative Brad Montell did resign his position. He did work at the Kentucky Department of Education as kind of a legislative liaison, I think was kind of his job, and he resigned to say he didn't want to be a distraction. So Speaker David Osborne did say, quote, "We will wait to hear from the Ethics Commission, but Kentuckians can be certain that we will remain vigilant in our efforts to provide a safe, productive workplace for all of our employees," unquote. So Osborne said that he referred this matter back to the House Ethics Commission, which has already heard the case once before and fined Hoover $1,000. That seems like double jeopardy to me. That's a legal term that I only know from movies, but that's...
I think that's not how that works, but it's the right sentiment, I guess. But I'm assuming this would be because now there's completely new information that maybe wasn't presented before.
That's an open question. We don't know.
Right.
We don't know what the Ethics Commission had when they issued this ruling. And, I mean, obviously the House Ethics Commission, because they only fined Jeff Hoover $1,000 before, is not exactly shown itself as a place to resolve these conflicts that are kind of a big deal. Okay. David Osborne did not say, Osborne said he was not aware of whether or not the Ethics Commission had this information when he referred it back to
them. And I don't know if there's double jeopardy for ethics.
I don't think anybody does. Seems like something there would be a lawsuit about if it did happen. Jasmine, at the end of the day, it seems that without the intervention of Republican House leadership, nothing is going to happen here. It's pretty clear that Hoover has been machinating in many ways from behind the scenes since leaving the speakership, and there are still a significant number of representatives who support him. Now, that was true before this report came out. The legislature is currently on break, so we don't know if that's still the case. We will see if Speaker Osborne has the courage to stand up to his former boss, his former leader. Speaker Osborne was in leadership with Hoover while all this was going on. We will see if he has the courage to actually stand up and make an attempt to remove him from the legislature. So that's definitely something to watch out for in the rest of this session. So yeah, there you go. Two things that don't make me feel great about the state of Kentucky are this story about Covenant Catholic and this huge scandal involving legislature and sexual harassment. All right, now on to a third thing, which also is bad.
Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah. So government shutdown. The federal government is partially shut down, which you probably know about. And that is making the Medicaid lawsuit about Kentucky put it up in the air a little bit. So, you know, we talked a lot about the Medicaid waiver, Kentucky Health, the Section 1115 waiver that Kentucky has issued to try to change its Medicaid program. It has been become the subject of a lawsuit, just like it was several months ago when Judge Boasberg overturned it because the Federal Health and Human Services Department did not take enough consideration about the comments that were issued. So it is now being sued again after it was reapproved. So the Department of Justice is actually the group that defends the government in these lawsuits. And they are one of the departments that's actually affected by the federal government shutdown, meaning that they are actually prohibited from doing any work on the case. So Jasmine, if you were prohibited from doing any work on a case and had to walk into a courtroom, do you think that you would do a good job?
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Seriously, what would you do if they were like, somebody hands you the case and is like, go do this right now?
Well, that actually happens, not in like a trial or anything, but definitely when you're an associate, you know, partners might hand you a copy of a motion and be like, go to this hearing. So things like that happen, just not like the real big stuff, right?
And it feels like this might
this
be...
This is big stuff.
Yeah, this is kind of big stuff. So Judge Boasberg, who is again hearing this case, he was the judge the first time, he said that he was willing to delay the lawsuit only if Kentucky's Cabinet for Health and Family Services delayed the implementation of the waiver. And CHFS refused to do that. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go ahead and start implementing this as soon as we possibly can. So Judge Boasberg allowed for a much shorter delay. He said, we will only delay this to the beginning of February. So the DOJ has to do, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
That's a good question.
In addition, the courts themselves are running out of money. They are, in fact, subject to the government shutdown as well. And if this goes any longer, if the government shutdown continues, the courts themselves will run on a skeleton crew and will not operate any of these federal cases. So it might be delayed anyway. So I don't have any idea what's going to happen. obviously they have till a little bit longer. I think that the courts have until March. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know if you just... I would assume Judge Boasberg would issue a stay to say you can't implement this now while this is ongoing or something, and say this is delayed indefinitely until the courts can come back. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't think anyone else really does either. We're kind of in uncharted territory with the government shutdown.
All right.
But yes, it has come to Kentucky. All right, Jasmine, we're going to play a game real quickly before we leave, which is a game that we have played once before and you said was not terrible. So we're going to play it again. It's called Big Deal or Small Deal or Little Deal. Big Deal or Little Deal, you can choose. We're going to go back and forth, I guess, and we're going to say whether this fact, and you're going to say whether it's a big deal or a small deal. So, okay. First of all, Gil Holland, who is running for lieutenant governor with Adam Edelin, has declined to release his tax return, and he is citing concerns over his family's privacy for doing this. Big deal or little deal?
Big deal.
Big deal. Okay, why do you think it's a big deal?
This is literally what Democrats, criticize Matt Bevin and Donald Trump for.
Yeah.
I feel like the Edelin Holland campaign was like off to a decent start, and this is not good.
No, it's not great. I agree. It's not. I would say it's a big deal, but I still don't know if people care. I mean, clearly they elected a governor and a president who didn't do this, so I think it's a big deal. You think it's a big deal?
Yeah.
But I don't know if voters care. So you know, I don't know if it's disqualifying. But it's not great. It's
no.
Definitely bad. And it takes away an avenue of attack. Okay, Allison Lonergan Grimes has decided to forego running for statewide office this year and focus on being a mom. I did check it out. That is a Cardi B. Cardi B did that when she would try to go on tour with Drake. And she said, no, I want to focus on being a mom. So, big deal or small deal?
Pretty small deal.
Small deal.
Because
okay.
I think this was expected. You know, the only way I think it's any kind of deal is because she's, you know, had a hold on the Secretary of State spot, and we don't know what's going to happen this year. But if she had ran, she may have ran into some issues because of, you know, the ethics complaint that's been filed against her. But all in all, I think this was expected, so not a super huge deal.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed she wouldn't run for, like, Attorney General. It seems like that may just be Greg Stumbo, and I think I would have preferred Allison Lonergan Grimes to Greg Stumbo, even though they're, like, best buds. So
Yeah,
I don't know.
That would have been nice. All right, so the last one. Passport Health wrote a letter to Scott Brinkman, who is the Bevin administration's Cabinet for Health and Family Services Secretary, saying that the cuts to Medicaid reimbursement for the Louisville area threaten its existence. The Bevin administration says the cuts are based on work by actuaries and CMS. Big deal or small deal?
I think that this has the potential to be a big deal, but right now I'm only saying it's a medium deal. Is that fair? Can I say medium?
That's fair. You can say medium.
Yeah. The reason I think it's a medium deal, because this is absolutely a negotiation, and Passport being like, we're about to die unless you fix our reimbursement, is absolutely something that is a tried and true practice for both payers and more often you see this from providers who are like, if you don't change the reimbursement that we get paid, we are going to go out of business. And doctor's offices very rarely go out of business. This is a little different since it's a Medicaid provider. The situation is kind of complicated, but essentially, like, the state controls how much money they pay out in Medicaid. And the way that it works for Passport is they get paid a certain amount of money per person that's enlisted on their service, and they're making changes to the amount that they get paid. And basically, it's the formula. Like, you obviously have to pay more where the care is more expensive, and the care is more expensive in urban areas. So Passport, most of their patients are in Louisville. And because of that, they are disproportionately affected by this cut, whereas some of the other providers, Medicaid providers, are out in rural areas and are not affected as much. So they say, without better reimbursement, we're going to go out of business. And then they put up the fact that they have this big development in the West End. They're trying to build this headquarters. And as a reason to increase their Medicaid reimbursement. I think Medicaid reimbursement should be higher anyway. I don't think that providers get paid nearly enough to provide the care. That's a good. It's a reason why a lot of Medicaid patients are kind of shut out of care. They go to the back of the line. If somebody with commercial insurance or Medicare insurance mm-hmm. is ahead of them, they typically want those patients. And a lot of people won't even take Medicaid because they can fill out their patient rosters with non-Medicaid payers.
Exactly.
So, you know, I do think Medicaid reimbursement needs to be made a little bit level. If we had single payer, of course, this wouldn't be a problem because it'd be one rate for everybody. But we don't. So, yeah, it could potentially be a big deal. So, What do you think? Big deal or small deal?
I think medium deal with potential.
Yeah. Glad you agree with me, right. Jasmine. Okay. That brings us to the end of today's show. Jasmine.
Wait. I have a quick hit.
Oh, what's your quick hit?
Heather French Henry says she's going to run for Secretary of State.
Yeah, big deal.
How did you miss this?
I did see it this morning. I did see it. I forgot to put it in there.
Big deal, Robert.
I do think that's a big deal. We're doing big deal or small deal, not quick hits. And yes, that's a big deal.
It's both.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, Jasmine, if I say the word Steve Henry, do you know who that is?
A little bit.
Yeah. He ran for governor and was in a lot of trouble. Did some real shady stuff when he ran for governor. He was Paul Patton's lieutenant governor. Twice for both terms.
Right. This was like before my time in politics.
He ran for governor in 2007. It was a very crowded field. He did some really, really shady stuff with money. He ended up, getting in a lot of trouble. This is another one of those examples of, she's married to this person, but she is not this person.
Mm-hmm.
But I still just learned this news today. Don't know what to think about that. She also was super into like the flag burning amendment, saying that we should make it a constitutional amendment to not burn American flags, which I always thought was a little strange. But she was Miss America. So, I think she could do it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Okay, Jasmine, how can people get a hold of us?
They can find us on Twitter at @myoldkypod. They can like our Facebook page. You can listen to our podcast on the podcast app of your choice. We have a weekly newsletter where we put our show notes and sometimes a little extra. And you can subscribe to that at forwardky.com/email. And you can also subscribe to Forward Kentucky's other newsletters as well.
Yeah, please do that.
And finally, we have a Patreon page. You can sponsor us for as little as $1 a month. And you can find that at patreon.com/myoldkentuckypodcast.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.